2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. When the Paul is saying this know also, that means he said, I want to let you know something more. What you learned already from chapter 1 to chapter 2, and this is chapter 3. So he said, this also I want to let you know. And what he wants to let us know, that the perilous times shall come. So the last days, he said, last days. Now somebody said, I don't know what the last days means. Now 2,000 years ago, he wrote this letter. So the people might be saying, this might be the last day. He says, last days, perilous times shall come. He didn't say perilous time. Times. That means more than one time it will happen. So we see this trouble coming to this world, not one time, but every year is increasing more and more. So these are the times we saw the troubles and bad times, and from the time of Paul and Peter and John, they were preaching. That was not a good and very beautiful time. They lived like they are living in the last days. And so now we see the prophecy is almost fulfilled. If you go and check the book, the prophecy of his coming is already here. So the times is not a time, but times, the dangerous times are here. The people are afraid, their heart is failing. Wars and rumors of war is everywhere in the world. Not a single country is living in peace. But thank God, even though we have war towards two different countries, but America is in peace. But that doesn't mean there is no fear in the hearts of the people. People are still having problems, and they are afraid of finances. They are afraid of gasolines. They are afraid of jobs. They are afraid of their houses. And these are the things people are afraid, and the wars and rumors of wars. Sickness and disease and new disease are coming, and some of the disease doesn't have any answers. So we are living in dangerous time. And this is not going to finish. I don't care who promises you the good days are coming, but the worst days are ahead of us. And so we are living in dangerous time. And that's what the Saint Paul is saying, I want to let you know. He's talking to Timothy. But he's not talking to Timothy only. He's talking to you and he's talking to me. And then he's saying, when the dangerous time, the bad time comes, the time doesn't come running to you. Who brings the time? The people cause that dangerous thing in this world. Whoever started the bomb or atom bomb or all kinds of destructions, those are the people. People are doing all these things. And so there are all kinds of people are listed here by St. Paul. Let's start reading from verse 2.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
These are the people he's explaining, bringing dangerous times. Now, if you start studying each and every verse, it will take us hours and hours. He says, The men shall be lovers of their own selves. There are people who are selfish. They don't think about their children. They don't think about their grandchildren. They don't think about their neighbors. Everything is me. And how can I be better than anybody else? They are selfish people. Then say covetousness. The covetous is whatever you have, you are not satisfied. Whatever other people have, I want that. Somebody's car, somebody's wife, somebody's house, somebody's job. All of this is covetousness. You have to be satisfied. If you are a born-again child of God, you will be content. You will be satisfied what God has given to you. You don't put your eyes in somebody's thing. And so then he says boasters. And some people are boasters. They are even the children. Some children play with other children. They said, my father bought this. I have this. I have that toy. I have this toy. I have this shirt. I have this book. I have this. Do you have it? And the children said, and then if the mother and father do not correct them, they're going to do the same thing when they are grown up. They are going to boast about whatever, even though they have little knowledge, they will be thinking, I am better than anybody else. And I have so much, even though they don't have anything. So those people are boasters and proud. Pride is very bad thing. You remember the Lucifer had pride, and what he was thinking, I will be better than God. I will be just like God. I will defeat God. And that's the pride. The word of God said the pride comes before the fall. So the pride is not good for the believers. But this pride is for the unbelievers. Then say blasphemers. Always saying bad thing. Always using bad language. Always saying something bad to somebody. That is not good for believers. And then it says disobedient to parents. Now somebody says that's nothing bad because parents always they are wrong. There was one man was teaching yesterday about the insurance and planning financial things. And he said, I was always teaching and telling people, keep your money for your children. And nobody was buying my insurance plan and nobody was buying my financial ideas. And one day I talked to one of my friend lawyers and I said, what I'm doing wrong? I'm teaching this and telling these people, save some money for your children. And nobody's buying it. He said, let me tell you the secret. People do not like their children. So don't say I'm saving for your children. You should say, I'm doing for my grandchildren. Because they don't like their children. You don't like your children, so your grandchildren likes you. So you just say, I'm doing for grandchildren, and people start buying his insurance plan. So what I'm trying to say, there are children, they disobey their parents. They think that parents are their enemy. Even though they try to tell you good, they don't want to listen. The word of God is saying, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says, you should be obedient to your mother and father. This is only Bible teaches. Today in our country, they are teaching you, if you don't like your mother and father, you can divorce them. And some people say, from today onwards, you are not my father, or you are not my mother. And this is happening. Because people, they don't like something, then you divorce. You stay away from it. This is not a Bible teaching. Let's read.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise.
So what is saying? Obey your parents in what? In the Lord. This is God's will. Now why you said this is in the Lord? Because there are parents going to teach you to do something wrong. I have heard some people teaching their children to steal. They're thinking that the children do something, they cannot put the children in a jail. That's what the word of God says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. If you are born again, child of God, you are not going to teach your children to do something wrong. And he says, when you listen to your parents, you will be living long life, and you will be fruitful. You will be blessed. You will have good jobs. You will have good education. You will have good success. You will have prosperity. And somebody says, you know, I work hard, and I learn hard, and I did this, and I did that. And why I'm struggling? Check it out. Are you obedient to your mother or father? Are you listening to your mom and dad? If you're not, somebody says, I don't have to listen when I'm married. Yes. If you are married, you listen to your husband. Love your husband, but your mother and father always will give you good advice. So it's nothing wrong to listen to them or their advice. You will be blessed. And then he says, we are still in the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Unthankful and ungodly. There are people, they never be thankful. You can give them anything. They will never say thank you. You know, if you give somebody a glass of water and that person doesn't say thank you, do you think you will call that person for dinner? No. But some people are never thankful. They think this is their duty. The mother and father are supposed to give all the time. I don't have to say thank you. And then say, ungodly. There are people in this world, they don't want God. You can talk to them about anything, they will listen. The time you talk the word God or Jesus, they cut you off. What is the problem? They're thinking God is the problem in our life. Take the God out and I'll be fine. The one lady I saw yesterday, she said, I didn't want God. Why? Because when you say God, then you have to live a good life. God tells you everything good. Don't commit sin, this, that. So I take the God out, then I don't have fear. Then I can live any way I want. And she was living that kind of life. And when she started living that kind of life, she lost her peace. Because she thought, now I'm wild. She got a friend. And that friend did not marry her. Walked away because he found out she's a witch. She's a bad lady. He walked away. Then she found another man. And another man she found, and some Christian people told him, you should give your heart to the Lord. And he gave his heart to the Lord. And he told her, because you are a witch, I don't want any friendship with you. And he walked away. Now two people walked away from her life. She became more miserable. I thought, if I don't want God, and if I can live the wild life, I'll be happy. And she said, I've become miserable and miserable and more miserable. And I had no peace. And she started worshiping the all kinds of trees and all kinds of the nature and everything. She will go everywhere to make peace. No peace. Why? Because she was ungodly. And one day came to her mind, she started thinking, in the Bible, maybe she heard when she was young, in the Bible it says, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. So she said, Lord, if you are the Prince of Peace, I need that peace. And all of a sudden, she felt so peace in her heart, and she got the Bible and started reading, gave her life to God. And the man who said, I don't want to get married, he became a Christian. She got married to that man. And today, she is telling all the witches, you are going away from God. I found Jesus. And I have peace. So what I'm trying to say, ungodly things will take you away from godly things. And if you are away from God, you will not have God's blessings. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, if you read, say, our God is holy, and he has called us to be like him. Please read.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
See? Our God is a holy God. And he wants you to be holy like him. There is not a father in the world, he doesn't want his children like him. So our God is a holy God, and he has called you with a holy calling. And so we have to be holy like him. But here I'm just saying, do not be ungodly. Be godly. Our God is holy, and he has called you for holiness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. He said, without natural affection. Now somebody say, what is without natural affection? Now some people naturally, if you say nature tells you, if you are a boy, you are a boy. If you are a girl, you are a girl. You're supposed to marry a girl if you are a boy. Girl, you're supposed to marry a man. That's a natural affection. Love comes naturally from your heart. People do not have a natural affection. They have some kind of, some people do something looks like not normal. That's the kind of people are today. Now you saw some kind of mermaid movies and all kinds of things. People are lovers of animal more than lovers of people. We supposed to love a mankind. God never say, I made the dog like me. We are the God's people, not even monkey, not even gorilla. We are the God's creation. So God put the natural affection for us to love your wife, to love your husband, love yourself. This is natural. But you going against God's will, then you do all kinds of unnatural things. Then it says, false accusers. Now sometimes if somebody falsely accuse you in your job, wife or husband or children, you get so mad. I didn't do anything. Why are you accusing me? We have an example of Christ. Christ was falsely accused, gave false accusation and false testimony against Christ. So we are just God's children. We are his brothers and sisters. So Christ set an example. He was accused falsely. And so once a person is not godly, he has no fear to say something wrong. If we say something wrong, if you are a believer, you feel guilty. Why am I saying this? But these people do not have a conscience. They can accuse you falsely. Incontinence, some people say, I don't understand what they say. You will say, I don't understand this. This is the person who doesn't have self-control. God has given us self-control in everything. You want to open your eyes? You can open. You want to close? You close. You want to take a fist and hit somebody or non-hit somebody. Everything God has given us, we have control. But there are people, they do not have control over their life. They want to drink wine and wine right now. They have no control on their tongue. They have no control on their life. They want to do what they want to do. But if you are a Christian, you will have control over what to eat, what not to eat, what to see, what not to see, what to hear, what not to hear. This is all God gives you control. Not only your each and every organ, but each and everything. What to see, what to hear, what to taste, what to do. Everything you have to do according to the will of God. Last week we learned, whatever you do with the words or deeds, do everything for the glory of God. So when you are a Christian, whatever you're doing or the devil tells you to do, you have to say, is it godly? Whatever I'm doing, it is good or bad? If it is bad, control. Control your life. Some people are addicted to certain things. Maybe game, maybe movies, maybe soap operas, maybe some kind of food. Maybe some kind of desire, control. Don't live like a without self-control. Without self-control is not a godly life. Somebody said, I'm not doing anything wrong to you. There was a man, he had the drum full of wine in his house and cigarette of 5 years stop. And so when I went to his house and I said, Uncle, what are you doing? He said, I'm not harming anybody. Always 10, 15 people surround me and we sit and drink and smoke and we have a good time. I said, that's what you're thinking. Read the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. What he says, you are the temple of the living God. If you defile the temple of God, God himself will destroy you. He said, I never read that. My pastor never preached that. That man, same night, gave up that smoking and gave up the drinking, and he became a witness to the 10 villages around him. What I'm trying to say, you cannot live without a self-control. God gives you grace to control your life in control. Then he says, fears. What is the fierce person? Fierce person is very brutal. He can kill anybody very badly and he will not feel guilty. Those kind of people are here. You saw somebody not only killing somebody, but take their body, make to pieces, and put it in a refrigerator or dump it in the sea. Those people are called fierce people, brutal people, destroying people, do not have any fear or do not have any compassion. Those kind of people, why? Because they don't have God. Despiser of those that are good. If any person doing good, they want to despise them. They want to block them, stop them. They want all evil things in this world. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Traitors. Now, traitors is not like trading something. Traitors are the people who trust in that person. You have faith in that person. You gave them car key. You gave them house key. You kept him everything in his hand. And you trusted that man. He will not touch my wife or he will not do anything. He's my brother. And he does something wrong to your wife. Or he does something wrong to your house. Or he does something wrong to your country or job or anything. Those people are traitors. Those people have no value of what you trust in. In our language, there is a word called Vishwas Ghataki. That means, Vishwas means faith. Ghataki means you destroying faith or killing that your faith. So, people who trust you, trust them, you put faith on them, and they betrayed you. Those people are traitor. Or sometimes, you know, some people are American, and they talk against America going to another country, or say bad about America. Those people called traitors. You are a believer, and you should not be doing this kind of thing. That's what the Word of God is saying. And then it says, heady. Now when you say heady, doesn't come to your mind. What is this heady? Heady is the person like hard-headed person. And says other Bible says a strong head. Means your head is like a stone. What does it mean? Whatever somebody tells you doesn't sink in your mind. My father used to say, Narbadesa Gota. You will not understand what the Narbadesa Gota means. Narbada is a new river. That river is not so deep, so some of the water makes a noise. Kudu, 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 noise. And there are stones, they go in that falls in that river. And they stay there maybe years and years. And they became round because all the roughness is gone. And they become round stones. You take that stone and cut it in half, not a single drop of water or wetness inside. They stay in the rivers years and years. That's why he said, hard-headed. Nothing goes in your mind. But if you take the stone from somewhere and dip it in the river and break it, that stone becomes powder because water goes inside. Narbadesagota is not like that. That means if you take the stone from the river, round one, water will not go inside. Or there is a saying, if you keep your glass upside down and pour the water in that glass, will not go. That's the hard-headed people. You can tell them anything, doesn't sink in their mind. And those kind of people. And then it says, high-minded. There are some people, they think, I know everything. If you start telling them, I know it. And those people are dangerous people. They don't want to learn anything. They say, we know everything. They know already everything. Lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God. That means they love the pleasures just like loving for themselves. Now, so many things can give you pleasures. I don't have to tell you. Different people like different things. So they have no time for God. So different people have different pleasures. Food, enjoyment, clothes, going to restaurant, all kinds of pleasures. So he says they have more pleasures than the lovers of God. They have no time for God. If you love God, then you will know what God wants me to hear, and what God wants me to learn. And then verse 5, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There are people like this. They go to church, they carry the Bible, they say we are a Christian, but when you talk to them about Holy Spirit, talk to them about the healings and miracles, talk to them that God does so many miracles today, they say, I don't believe in that kind of thing. Those things are over. And those kind of Christians are dangerous. Because if you don't believe what the Bible preaches, and you believe what you believe, that is not a Christianity. We have to see what the Bible says. He says, having the form of godliness, thinking that we are Christian. We are godly people. We are good people. We are giving in charity. We are doing so many good things. But we are not Christian. We are godly people. He says, no, they are having form of godliness, but they are denying the power of God, or power of the Holy Spirit. From such, what do? Turn away. Means what? You're walking with them. Stop it. Come back to God. Don't go with them. Means don't follow them. If those people are trying to take you away from godly thing, say bye-bye. I don't want to be your friend. Because you are pulling me away from God. Okay, verse 6. Please read.
For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts.
Now, who are they? He said, for these sorts, this kind of people. Who are this kind of people? We read from verse 2 to verse 5. Those kind of people come creeping. Means, you know, some creeping things comes to your house, you don't see them. Spiders and some of the things you don't even think they came into your house. I don't know how they came. So some of the people come slowly, lovingly, kindly to your house. Just like a Jehovah's Witnesses. They come very lovingly and say, we love you. Are you Christian? Oh, I am Christian too. And I want to teach you more about Jesus. Can I come into your house? And you open your door and they sit. And slowly they will take you away from Christ. That's what the creeping things is all about. They come into your house and say, lead you to what? Captivity. And what a silly woman, laden with sins. There are some silly women. Means they don't have anything, what you call, godly thing. And so all these sinful ladies can allow somebody to come into their house. And I have seen so many people. In India, I have seen them. What they do, they go to the first class, second class, where the rich people are. And they very nicely, they come with a good dress and something like that. And try to chat with them to make friendly with them. And if they are not friendly with them, they don't want what the ladies are saying, then they will tell them, you know what, I'm going to stop the train and I'm going to tell them that you were trying to rape me. And so people say, okay, here's $1,000, get out of the train, get the money and go. But there was a one man, he decided, I'm not going to go into this lady's trap. The lady comes and she said something he doesn't want to listen. He said, give money. She doesn't. He said, you know what? I'm going to scratch myself, bleed myself, stop the train, and I'm going to say, you did this. So he said, go ahead. She stopped the train. Police came. What happened? This man was trying to rape me, harass me, and see this blood and this and that. And they wanted to arrest this person. He said, take my overcoat. They took his overcoat. His hands are cut in the military. He was a big military officer, and he has no hand and no nails. And so they found out this lady is accusing him to get money. So those kind of silly women, you go to their house, they will trap you. So he says those kind of people, they will do all kinds of sinful things and lead you away with the desires of lusts. So if somebody is not a godly woman, stay away. The word of God says the ungodly woman, their talk is like very sweet, like a honey. But they will bite you like a snake. So stay away. Okay, verse 8.
Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith.
Now in this verse, if you read, now the Jannes and Jambres, who are these people? Now he's giving an idea that Moses came to Pharaoh and told him, let my people go. What power you have, what miracle you can do. So he put the rod on the floor and it became snake. So they're musicians, they are these Jannes and Jambres, that's the musicians, are soothsayers. They said, okay, we can do the same thing. And they did magic. Magic is not real. Magic is deceiving your eyes. So they put some snakes there because they cannot make life. Magician cannot make snake. Some people say, oh, they made the snake. No, they just deceive people like they did the same thing, like Moses. If you want to know, you can read in Exodus chapter 7. But you have to read from verse 8 to 12. We don't have time. So point I'm making, what happened there? Moses' snake ate the magician's snakes. And so the word of God is saying, you know what happened? And Moses was trying to bring the point, my God is greater than your God. They don't want to listen. He says, they have reprobate mind. Means they deny everything what you say. They say everything what you say is false and not good and I want to listen. Those kind of people, he said, the ungodly people. They do not want the truth. You give them the truth, they deny the truth. So he said, but don't worry. He said, those people did something to impress the king, deceive the king. We can do the like Moses did. What happened? Their snakes were eaten by Moses' snakes. So he said, if somebody brings that kind of folly, it's not going to stand. Some people try to come and say, you don't listen to Jesus, listen to some other gods or the nature and this and that. But if you start following, I just gave an example about the lady who was witch And she became witch because she thought the nature and the other gods are much more better than the Christianity. But what happened? Did not work. And she came back to Christ. So he says, don't worry, it's not going to work too long. The Bible says you shall know the truth and what? Truth shall set you free. Verse 10.
But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience.
But thou hast fully known my doctrine. What do you mean, my doctrine? Doctrine is simply teaching. He says, my teaching. Where his teaching came from? His teaching came from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, remember my teaching, my manner of life, what kind of life I laid in front of you, and purpose, what kind of purpose, what purpose I have living in this world. Somebody, different people have different purpose. But Christian people's purpose should be this. I'm living for Christ. And I want everyone to know about Jesus Christ. And this is the only reason I'm living in this world. If you ask me, I'm living for Christ. I'm not looking for anything else. In this world, I'm living for Jesus Christ. That is the purpose God has put us here. This is the time you have to understand where we're going. Going to hell or going to heaven. Purpose is here that God wants us to be like Him. And we want to go to heaven. That's the purpose we have in this world. So he said, you have seen my purpose. And that says, you have seen my faith. What kind of faith life I lived. So that's the same kind of life you can live. Paul is trying to tell Timothy, have faith in God, just like I had faith in God. You know the word of God saying, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So if you want faith, you follow Christ. Receive Christ. And Christ's life is a faithful life. So he says, you heard about my doctrine, my manners of life, my purpose in life, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, and my patience. All of these things you have seen. And then he says, verse 11, my persecution, affliction. This affliction came to him in three different places. He says, Antioch, at Lyconium, at Lystra, and all this persecution came, and I endure all this persecution. Now, you remember Paul asked God one time. Now, these three places' name is given here. Now, three different times, he might have asked, God, I don't want this persecution. Because he said, this kind of people are thorn in my flesh. Wherever I go, they follow me. Wherever I go, they come to kill me. So I cannot freely do the Lord's work. So Lord, take this thorn away from me. People are thinking that sickness and disease. No, he was not asking of sickness and disease. He did not have sickness and disease. You never saw Paul telling to any believers, could you pray for me? I have stomachache. He did not say, could you pray for me? I have a headache. Could you pray for me? I lost my sight. He never said. Only time he prayed, he said, pray that I should preach boldly. The doors will be open for me to preach. Pray for me so I should have holy boldness to preach. Those are the things he asked for prayer. So here he says, he asked God, he asked Jesus three times, let this stone pass away. Let this affliction go away. What Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. But the people took a wrong meaning and say, my grace is sufficient, so I'm going to die in grace. That is not a sufficient grace. That is disgrace. You're using the God's grace to manipulate your way and saying, God has given me grace to suffer and I'm going to die in this sickness because God gave me this sickness. First of all, God doesn't give you sickness and disease. St. John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy's job is to give you sickness, disease, and destruction. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. What the St. Paul is saying here, he says, all this problem came in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecution I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now when you say out of them all, what does it mean? Does it mean that God did not deliver him from certain problems? There are people are saying, oh, he had the eye problem. Where did he get the eye problem? Because he saw the light from heaven. And God said, Jesus said, go to Ananias and he will pray for you. And he prayed and something fell out of his eyes and he starts seeing it. So God did not heal him properly. That's what the people want to tell you. Jesus never fails, right? So when he heals him, he heals him completely. He doesn't do half job. Lazarus came forth from 4 days in the grave. He says, Lazarus, come forth. When he came out, we don't know what disease he had and what disease he died with, right? Jesus didn't say, now take him to the hospital or put him in a 6 months for having good rest. Completely healed. That's called God. Our God doesn't do half job. He does complete job. So he said, but out of them, all kinds of persecution, all kinds of problem I was going through, God delivered me out of all. Means, did not have any more problems. That is the grace of God. Says, my grace is sufficient means, my grace will deliver you. Not keep you lying there for dying. I will deliver you out of all your problems. That's our God. That's our Jesus. And somebody said, Jesus, give me this sickness so I can learn something. Then somebody said, okay, I'll call upon God to give you more sickness and more sickness so you can learn more and more. More sickness will not teach you anything that will take you away from God. That's why people say, oh God, where are you? But once you call upon God, he says, you call upon me and I'll answer you. I will heal you. I will deliver you. Our God is a good God. Okay, let's go to the verse 12. Yeah, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He said, yeah, what does it mean? Yes, if you want to be a Christian, then you have to know you are going to suffer. And if you don't want to suffer, take some other religion. He just said, if you be Christian, you will suffer for my sake. Persecution is sure. He did not say, smooth sailing. John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, in this world, you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. What do you say? Be cheerful, rejoice. I have already won the battle. You are going to be winner if you are in the Christ side. We are not going to be losers because Jesus Christ have won the battle. So what we are, the Word of God says, you are not only conqueror, you are more than a conqueror because Jesus Christ is a winner. So the Word of God is saying, all this persecution will come if you say you are a Christian. And if you say, I don't have persecution, then what? You are not a born-again child of God. If you are born again, people from your own house, they will give you problem. Your own neighborhood, your own job, wherever you go, because you are Christian, they are going to persecute you. Verse 13. Evil man, seducer, all wax worse and worse, deceiving and what? Being deceived. So what is trying to say? There are evil people deceiving you and they are also deceived. And so the people are the not godly people, they want to deceive you in everything. More deceiving is spiritual minded. He is deceived by devil, and he's being deceived, and he's deceiving you. And so somebody says, oh, I'm listening to good music. You're listening to good music, and slowly he's deceiving you in his tactic. Change the channel. Go to some other channel. Or buy the CD for yourself and listen to yourself. Don't listen to people who are telling you not to go to church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, what does it say? Do not forsake assembling together. Means do not say, I don't want to go to church. Because Jesus Christ is coming. So you should be ready to go to church and be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14. But continue thou in these things. He learned from Paul. He learned from his mother. He learned from his grandmother. So he says, think what you learn and from whom you learn. So you have to make sure what you learn. Some people learn, but they have doubt. If you have doubt anything you are learning, if I saying something, call me. Say, I thought you said this. I will tell you what I meant. So Paul is saying, I told you, I taught you. Now you learn of me. And then he's saying verse 15 and 16.
And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
He says, you have learned from the childhood. What you learn? Holy scriptures. What those scriptures do? Those holy scriptures will make you able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That means if you read the Bible, Bible makes you wise. Do you know the word of God says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, if you read, he says the fear of God is what? The beginning of knowledge. But the fool despises the word of God or the knowledge of God. So the fool says there is no God. But if you are a born again child of God, you will learn the word of God. The word of God will make you wise. And the word of God says, go to the book of Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. He says the wise people will not only get saved, but win more people to the Lord. Please read.
And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
The people who are wise, they will go to heaven, but their job is to bring other people to salvation. Bring other people to God so they can be shining stars. So the word of God says, who is wise? Do you know? Who wins the soul, that person is wise. Not having so many degrees. If you know who God is, and if you introduce somebody who Jesus is, you are wise. That's why you have to read the Bible and study the word. Verse 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God. The God has given the wisdom. God has given his spirit to know the scriptures. Many people, they are saying the scriptures are written, somebody just made it up. No, the scriptures has the power. This is came from the breath of God or the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the spirit of God inspired people to write this. And he says, what the scripture can do, this is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness. That means these scriptures will teach you, make you wise, correct you if you do something wrong, and give you instruction in righteousness. So once you start reading the word of God, you will not go astray. And he says, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So how the man of God can be perfect? Reading the word of God, studying the word of God, practicing the word of God, teaching the word of God. That's the way you become perfect. For what? To do all good things for God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, God has created us in Christ Jesus so we can do good things. And this was in the heart of God, and the mind of God before the foundation of the world. That I am going to create a mankind. And that mankind will listen to me and do good things what I want to do. But the Adam failed, and whole generation failed. But the Jesus Christ did the will of his Father. That's why he said, now we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle working God. You have called us with a definite high calling. And we are going to study the word of God and grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. We want to be wise in this world, to win the souls for Christ and bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There are people dying without God and without Christ. We want to let them know there is no other way. There is only one way, than Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the life. Jesus Christ is the truth. Give us grace to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God and be perfect in righteousness, in truth. Give us grace to do good things, good works for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.